Good morning. It's approximately 9:09 a.m. on Monday, December the 14th of 2009. I am the hearing officer for this matter, Anthony R. Camacho, with the Office of Public Accountability. This is the pre-hearing conference for OPA-PA-09-009 in the appeal of Guam Cleaning Masters. Will the members, and we're also on the sixth floor of the DISSET conference room in the DNA building in Agatan, Guam. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability present this morning please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores, Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, Management Analyst.
Will the counsel for the appellant please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him this morning?
Good morning. My name is Attorney Douglas Moylan. I'm representing Guam Cleaning Masters. The President, Mr. Alex Thomas, is present.
Thank you. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify himself and any institutional representatives present with him today?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Camacho. I'm Roland Mancinonia for Department of Chamorro Affairs. With me is Mr. Mike Cora of the Chamorro Village.
Yes, and I do note that you filed your entry of appearance in this matter, I believe it was Friday, December the 11th. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And did you serve those same documents on Mr. Moylan?
Yes.
Thank you. And the motion filing deadline was actually December the 11th of 2009, which is just last week. Friday. Mr. Moylan, did you file any motions on behalf of the appellant?
No, we did not.
And I know that the purchasing agency filed one, actually two motions. One is somewhat moot now. One was a motion to postpone the pre-hearing conference, and the second was a motion to postpone the motion filing deadline. Is that correct?
I'm here.
Yes. You can call me Mr. Camacho.
Mr. Camacho.
Okay.
My office filed, I believe, an appearance in this matter and a motion to extend cutoff date and continue the motion, continue pre-hearing conference.
Yes.
That would be correct, Your Honor. Mr. Camacho.
Yes. So we're trying that basically the motion to extend the pre-hearing conference somewhat moot as we are holding it pursuant to the notices and the notice of pre-hearing conference and motion deadline dated December the 2nd of 2009. Mr. Moylan, have you been served a copy of the motion to extend the motion cutoff date by the purchasing agency?
Yes, we did receive a copy.
Okay, and do you need any additional time to respond to that motion?
Mr. Hearing Officer, we understood that the hearing officer might entertain that today. Given the fact that my client would be leaving my island, and
that is correct.
We'd like to have a speedy resolution in this matter. If the hearing officer wants us to oppose it, I can oppose it. If you'd like to see it in writing, I'm prepared to go forward today.
Yeah, well, I'm giving you the opportunity. We can either do one of two things. I believe it's a 2-3-page motion. Is that correct, Mr. Commissioner?
That's correct.
And I guess it's based on the late entry of counsel in this matter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But as you're the defending party, Mr. Moylan, I'm going to give you the option of we can either have a full-blown hearing on this motion individually, or if you're willing to waive that, I will entertain your oral arguments on the motion and issue a decision very shortly, sometime today or tomorrow. So which would you rather do?
I'm prepared to go forward today.
Okay, Mr. Matthew, are you prepared to go for today on your motion as well?
That'll be fine.
Okay. So before we go into the pre-hearing conference, I believe as a preliminary matter, we have to decide Mr. Matanonia's motion first. So Mr. Matanonia, as it's your motion and as is customary, I'm going to let you argue your motion first. Mr. Moylan, I'm going to allow you to give your oral opposition there too. And then finally, Mr. Matanonia, as you're the moving party, You'll have the last word in rebuttal, okay? Okay, so if we're ready to proceed. I know, it's a bad habit, but no, I'm not a judge here, I'm just the administrative hearing officer, so Mr. Camacho will suffice. But as it's your motion, Mr. Macedonia, you have the floor.
Yes, so Mr. Camacho, Ms. Brooks, the motion before the court is a motion to continue the motion cut off date to allow me to, first of all, review the case to determine and see if there's any substantive issues that are need to be resolved in regards to the factual allegations and whether there is a potential motion to dismiss or a potential motion for summary judgment in the matter. The, what is important and for the hearing officer to understand is that the counsel was hired basically on between December 10th and December 11th, the late hours. That was based upon certification of emergency by the governor's office on December 7th. To get legal counsel for the Department of Tomorrow Affairs in regards to this matter. If the court would like, I could also provide a copy of that certification of emergency.
Yeah, we would like a copy of that.
I can provide it to you.
And I'd also like you to serve a copy on that on Mr. Moreland as well.
That really, I will do so.
Thank you.
Based upon that, I think that it would prejudice my client. It would not be in the best interest of justice to have the matter proceed or basically terminating my client's rights to make any substantive motions. I can't guarantee, I'm not stating specifically that I will be filing any motions, but the opportunity for my client to have the learned counsel review the case, determine whether there are dispositive motions here, would be in the best interest of justice. And further, it would be probably judicial economy in reviewing the matter and seeing if there is anything that we can do to narrow the scope of this trial or this matter. And I believe that it would also help to make a speedy resolution. I think that one other point needs to be clarified is that my request for a extension of the motion cut off date is not accompanied by a motion to extend the trial date or the hearing date of this matter. I understand that Mr. Moreland wants an expeditious hearing date, and so do I. The only request that we would have is that the matter be set till after January 9th, where my client will also be back on island. On that matter, Mr. Camacho, I'll submit on
that. Okay. Mr. Moreland, any opposition to the motion?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer. Mr. Hearing Officer, you know, normally good causes apply to when the party comes in at the last minute, attempts to extend the motion cutoff. In this case, we do not believe that that exists for several reasons. Mr. Chief Officer, if you look at the record in this matter, the protest was filed on September 30th of 2009. From that point forward, DCA was on notice that counsel was present and that we had an issue. I was the one that had drafted the letter, and my name is on the letter itself. That DCA could have done this emergency certification, if that's the procurement rule that they needed to follow to get counsel. The Attorney General's office obviously is available for these sorts of matters. The notice of appeal was filed on October 27, 2009. In total, it's our position that at 2.5 months, they could have secured counsel and they failed to do so. This is not a trial, as the OPA properly pointed out to me at the last hearing. This is an appeal. The procedures for an appeal don't normally involve motion practice. So in a way that the OPA's office is extending itself in terms of giving this a convenience for the parties to file motions if they so chose. In this case, Guam Cleaning Masters had reviewed the record and decided as of Friday that it was not going to file any motions and we're going to go straight for the appeal. It was pointed out to us that the public auditor's office has a strong interest in seeing that these procurement matters are timely resolved, and we believe that's consistent with it in not granting their motion today. Whatever defenses they have can be raised in the appellate arguments. The fact that counsel was brought in on Friday, he's had 2 days to review the record. Apparently, he's not even prepared to say whether they're going to have a motion filed or not. I believe that that should cut against granting their motion. The fact that there is a contract that's ongoing right now, and in our position it's an illegal contract, the taxpayers are being prejudiced and damaged by the fact that there are arguably some obligations that are being incurred by the government of Guam and actually paid pursuant to a contract that was entered into. I believe it was entered into in September 30th, or the day after that, with Lucky Kids Janitorial Services. The prejudice to Guam Cleaning Masters continues to the extent that they believe that they should have won the contract. They're losing the profits on that. More so, they're having to pay counsel with a questionable right to reimbursement in these matters. Further delay will increase Guam Cleaning Masters' financial prejudice and having to bring this to the OPA's attention. We know for the record that the protest was filed on September 30th. In that letter, Guam Cleaning Masters specifically pointed out that under 5GCA section 5425G, that all work had to stop. And in their own letters, which is part of the procurement record, DCA refused to stop the work, citing some excuse that the Chamorro Village needed to be cleaned. They did not take the procedure of going to the OPA to continue the contract while the protest was undergoing. We believe that that's an act of bad faith on the behalf of the appellee that, again, further prejudices Guam Cleaning Masters and essentially the taxpayers on not having the government entity follow the black letter law. Mr. Chairman, actually, we believe that there is no good cause to continue a motion cut off, that my client is returning on January 9th and is prepared to conduct his appellate arguments immediately thereafter. Thank you.
Mr. Moreland, my understanding is your client leaving, based on the last hearing, tonight?
He's leaving tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And he's going to come back just briefly on the 26th, but he'll be leaving again on the 28th. But returning on island and prepared for further hearing on January 9th.
Okay. Mr. Madden, any rebuttal?
Yes. Mr. Hearing Officer, Mr. Moreland makes a point about the financial hardships to his client. So again, we're not asking to continue the appeal on this matter. We're not asking for any movement of the date, except for the possibility of having the ability to review the matter. Secondly, Mr. Moreland makes a point about me having to file for 2 days. That's over the weekend, and it doesn't allow me to make any kind of investigation in regards to whether the claims that Mr. Mulligan has are actually, in fact, true, correct, or even have any merit. There does need to be some time, and I believe that the setting of the appeal after January 9th, when both parties will be back on island, will provide me sufficient time to review this matter, to best advise my client in regards to this matter. As far as I was informed by my clients, they made every effort they could to comply with Mr. Moreland. Their ability to get counsel in this matter, again, was only granted to them on December 7th, 2009, which only allowed them a few days to go out and get the necessary three quotations. So we believe that our clients have acted in good faith. We believe that our clients are seeking a continuance in good faith. And we would ask the hearing officer and the public auditor to grant motion and motion passed at one.
Okay, and my understanding was your client, who specifically is leaving the island?
Ms. Sylvia Flores, she's the executive director of Department of Chamorro Affairs.
And when is she leaving?
She is leaving December 15th. December 21st to January 9th. So almost the same exact period as the appellant.
And if you were to prepare a motion, how long do you think it would take you to review the record? What is the minimum amount of time you think it would take you to review the record?
I would have to say I would like to interview certain parties that are, there's allegations of negligence, allegations of misconduct, and I've got to be able to talk to and interview other parties. I would say at least, 3 to 4 days to do that, and to look over the documents that have been provided to me and see whether there's any other relevant documents. I don't necessarily want to try to limit my client's defense in this matter to specifically documents provided to me by Mr. Moreland.
So would it reasonably take you about a week to perform those functions?
I think so, sir.
All right. And then how many, as it stands now, do the parties, because if we, the intent was that if we filed any, the reason we had the initial motion cutoff date on the 11th was so that we could decide today before the hearing on the merits when we would hear those motions. But if we basically extend the motion cutoff date, the practical effect really would be hearing the motions first on the same day that we're hearing the merits of, or of the appeal. Mr. Moylan, at this time, do you know approximately, and I'm not going to hold you to it because we're we haven't finalized our witness list on it, so approximately how many witnesses do you plan on calling at a formal hearing in this matter?
Mr. Hearing Officer, I have not put together my witness list at this point. I've got certain names, but I'd rather not...
I wouldn't hold you to it. I'm just trying to get an estimate of time.
I would think it could be five or more.
Five or more? Okay. So it would probably take you a day to go through the five or more witnesses, approximately.
I would hope not.
Okay. Yeah. Half a day, maybe?
I'm hoping.
Okay. And Mr. Madinoni, I know you've only had a very cursory review of the issue based on your arguments, but how many witnesses do you think you might call at a formal hearing in this matter?
Again, Mr. Hearing Officer, you're caught me at a disadvantage. I can't really give the hearing officer a good faith estimate in regards to that. I haven't had a sufficient opportunity to talk to the relevant parties in regards to the specific allegations, so I don't know exactly who would be a relevant witness of this matter.
Yeah. Well, I find that the motion to extend the motion cutoff date filed on December the 11th to be timely in accordance with the motion deadline established by the December 2nd, 2009 notice of hearing and motion deadline. I'm going to grant your motion, Mr. Metanonia. However, I am going to only give you 1 week more to do your investigation and file the motion. So I will give Mr. Metanonia, I'm going to give the purchasing agency until the 21st. Or actually, I'm going to give both parties, okay, and extend the motion cutoff date for both parties to file any motions that they might have by 5 o'clock p.m. on December the 29th, or excuse me, 21st, which is next week, Monday, and that would apply to both parties. And oppositions to any motions would then be due by the 28th of December.
Mr. Hearing Officer, is it possible... May I have a moment, please?
Yes.
Officer, one of the reasons why we were concerned about pushing this back is that I need time to discuss the case with my client. If there is a motion filed, and my client is a sole proprietorship, and he primarily is the person with all the information on what's been going on with DCA. So, depending upon the nature of the motion, I'd ask that our opposition deadline actually be put January 13th, which would give me 3 working days to discuss any opposition that we would file to DCA's motions.
Well, actually, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but I was planning on scheduling the actual formal hearing on the merits for January the 11th.
Again, this is putting us at the disadvantage. We've been here at every stage of the proceeding, crossing our T's, dotting our I's, and it would not be fair to Guam Cleaning Masters, because he will be off island and out of the country on the second leg of his trip. Depending upon what motions are filed by the DCA, I'm not going to be able to oppose it in a meaningful sort of way.
Okay, well, this time it's kind of speculative to see if any. My understanding is you haven't reviewed the file enough to even determine whether or not you're going to file a motion. I'm simply giving both parties the opportunity.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Mr. Hearing Officer. The only problem is that if he files a motion and I need to oppose it, my client will not be on Guam. I will not be able to meaningfully oppose it, which will prejudice my client. I'm asking that if the hearing officer is going to move forward on this, that I have the opportunity to talk to my client after the night for an opposition, to be able to file after the night.
Are you saying your client will be out of total communication with you while he's off island?
He's on vacation with his family, and it's not normal practice for me to call clients when they're traveling throughout the United States.
Okay, but your client also filed an appeal, and we do have to deal with this appeal in an expedited manner, Mr. Moylan. Even if Mr. Matanoni had not filed his motion, odds are we would have still scheduled the formal hearing on or about January the 11th, irregardless. Several matters, such as the what we're going to work on later is in this hearing, are the deadline to submit witness lists, exhibit lists, so on and so forth, where you're really preparing your case for the formal hearing, which would take place during this time period, irregardless. You understand that?
I understand, Mr. Hearing Officer. Just that this is the appellee has asked the Office of Public Auditor for extraordinary relief. And if this is the case, then I ask, because we've been working on looking at our files for any motions, we've been acting diligently, and to punish my client by having him off island with a long overdue trip, that he will be traveling throughout the United States and have me have to incur additional costs in locating him and inconveniencing my client, just doesn't seem fair to us. We're asking for an opposition date at the time that he's back on Guam.
Okay. Well, I'm going to set the opposition date to remain at the proposed December the 28th date. Replies to oppositions will be due by January the 4th of 2010, 5 p.m. And the formal hearing in this matter, I will schedule on January the 11th, 2010, at 9 a.m. I'll be issuing a written order concerning all these dates today, or shortly after today. The motion hearing on any motions filed will take place at 9 a.m. just before the formal hearing in this matter. Okay. Now, going back to the formal hearing, when did the now that the basically that motion to continue the cutoff date, motion cutoff date and deadline has been disposed of. I'm just going to go down this list for the that was stated in the December 2nd, 2009 notice of pre-hearing conference. Have the parties attempted to formulate or simplify the issues for the hearing?
Again, Mr. Hearing Officer, I discussed the matter. I'm not averse to discussing the matter with Mr. Moreland, trying to, see if there is something that could be worked out amongst the parties. Of course, I would need to be able to defer with my clients to see if they're willing to be fined by that. But as far as I know, I can't speak for anything that's happened before December 11th.
And what about the Mr. Moreland, anything on that?
So I remain open. We've been here all the time.
Have you been contacted? Well, I know they haven't been counseled, but...
I've spoken with the acting director of DCA, and we're just waiting for whatever issues they need to discuss.
All right. Okay. And have the parties discussed the possibility of obtaining admissions of facts and of documents that will avoid unnecessary proof or any stipulations regarding the authenticity of documents? Have you discussed that?
Again, Mr. Hearing Officer, I have not discussed that matter with Mr. Moore. I've had an opportunity. But I believe that would be a proper course of action, and I don't have a problem with discussing that with him next week with Mr. Moore.
At last hearing, Mr. Hearing Officer, I spoke with the acting director about the substance of the procurement record, as well as the issues pertaining to the appeal. Again, we await contact.
Okay. At this time, do the parties require any advance rulings from me on the admissibility of any evidence?
Nothing at this point on behalf of the Department of Criminal Affairs.
Okay. Well, if that issue does come up, you do have until next week, Monday, to file the appropriate motion.
That be in the form of a motion in limine?
That's correct.
I'm sorry, you said next week, Monday?
That's a motion cutoff date.
That's not a motion limine, though. That's your regular motion.
That's any and all motions, that's correct.
Right. We're not on motion limine.
Okay, once again, Mr. Moreland, the technical rules, okay, governing the rules of civil procedure for the Superior Court of Guam don't apply.
Right, Mr. Hearing Officer, I'm not disputing that. The comment was, is it a motion in limine? This is not a motion in limine. You have set a regular motion cutoff date, is that correct?
For all motions.
That's correct.
Yes,
so I'm just
all motions.
My statement about a limine was made, and limines are made at the eve of trial.
Okay, well, we are somewhat at the eve of trial. This actual motion hearing will be held the day of the formal
hearing. Mr. Hearing Officer, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just clarifying for the record. You're saying that we're bringing some sort of motion in limine, or the reference
said,
to... He asked for the motion in limine, and he said, you're saying that if that's next week, Monday, I wanted to clarify, the motion, this is a formal motion cutoff that we have here.
It's that's for all motions, and that would include that type of a motion.
That's correct. Okay. But that's not that type of a motion.
Just to clarify, all motions. All motions.
Sir.
Motions to exclude evidence, motions to include evidence, okay, if the parties can agree, argue at the motion cutoff date. You understand that?
I understand that,
okay.
But the motion in limine is normally filed after motion cutoff date.
And I say again that the technical rules governing procedure in the Superior Court of Guam do not apply in these proceedings, Mr. Moreland.
That's right, but it should be told to appellee, not to appellant. Clarify appellee's position about a motion in limine, not our position. I'm not asking for a motion in limine. I'm not applying the Superior Court rules here. I'm asking for clarification. You've given the clarification. I appreciate it.
Mr. Mandone, do you understand that? You're clear?
Yeah.
Any motions?
I'm clear.
Okay, conclude. You're not necessarily going to call it a motion to limit, or to say a motion to exclude evidence for whatever reason. They're all due next week, Monday.
I understand.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, now the... Have the parties discussed or made any attempts to avoid unnecessary proof and cumulative evidence? Meaning to say, I discourage the parties from putting 10 witnesses apiece on a subject that the first witness will more likely than not cover appropriately and thoroughly.
Again, Mr. Hearing Officer, I didn't have a chance to review, but I will take that under consideration and submit my witness list.
Okay, and I believe that is about the same standard in the Superior Court. It's the same concept. Okay, we've already, how much time between now and January the 11th do the parties need to identify witnesses and documents and basically coming up with your witness list, your exhibit list? Two weeks
before the hearing would be date for us.
2 weeks before the hearing. So, let's see. Looking at the existing dates, would Monday the 28th, which is approximately 2 weeks before the hearing, would that be sufficient for exhibit list and witness list?
Yes, Your Honor. At 9 a.m. in your
own room? No, it's 5 o'clock. Yeah. Okay, so 12-2809 at 5, that is the deadline to submit the witness list. The parties' exhibit list. And also your hearing briefs, which just summarize your respective arguments as to the issues.
Mr. Hearing Officer, might I ask that say what type of brief did you ask for?
It's just a hearing brief.
The hearing brief. Might I ask that the hearing brief be submitted by January 5th?
Any objection to that request?
No.
Purchasing agent. Okay. So, well, as usual, I got a little ahead of myself. Usually, I also request both parties to summarize what they feel the issues are, and then, and that's usually a one or two page document. And then there's also a hearing brief, which basically summarizes the parties' arguments as to those various issues. Okay. So, I will require then that the on January the 5th, 2010 at 5 will be the deadline for the parties to submit their issues list, or list of issues rather, and their hearing briefs. And also to exchange the same with the other party. And we basically this morning disposed of the only pending motion, the previous motion cutoff date. Going down the list, do we need to adopt any special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or unusual proof problems?
If any,
yes.
On behalf of the affiliate, I don't believe that this is a case necessary that would have, tons of witnesses. So, I don't think the issues are going to be that complex in regards to this matter. So, I would believe that would not be necessary.
Okay, Mr. Moylan,
we don't have any at this time. Then.
Thank you. Do we need to establish a reasonable limit on the amount of time allowed for presenting evidence? Speaking of which, basically the format for the formal hearing would sound very familiar to both of counsel for the parties. Essentially, we begin with an opening statement by both parties. We're going to then have the appellant's case in chief, the purchasing agency's case in chief, closing arguments by the appellant, followed by closing arguments by the purchasing agency, followed by rebuttal
if any, by the appellant. That'll also be spelled out in the formal notice of the hearing, or the formal hearing in this matter. Does either party feel that they have to give an all-day-long opening statement or closing statement at this time that we need to prepare for?
No, Your Honor.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, does either party have any witness or person that will be attending the hearing that may require special accommodations, auxiliary aids or services to attend or participate in the hearing?
I would not be able to give the hearing officer that information until I already established my witness list. If I could have to, on the day of the trial of the witness list, to submit a pleading to the notified court as to a need for any special hearing devices.
Yeah, that's just if they have a disability that we need to get the requisite equipment so they could testify or hear testimony if they're so on and so forth.
Mr. Hearing Officer,
yes.
Clarification, because we're setting all these dates right now. From the appellee, will their entire procurement office employees be present for January 11th? At least will they be available, or will some of them be off island, if I may inquire?
Well, first of all, Mr. Metanonia, how many employees are we talking about in the procurement office for your client?
Procurement office for the Department of Tomorrow Affairs?
Yes.
Again, you have me at disadvantage, but I doubt that the size of that department would be more than one or two people.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine it's the same size, say, as the procurement office for GPA or UWA or DOE even, or GSA. But I urge you to bring that issue up with Mr. Macedonia early, so that if you need to file the requisite motion or get the requisite subpoenas, that you're able to do so.
This is going to be a substantive issue, obviously, on the people that conducted the procurement, and I'm just trying to make sure that we save time. I will talk to police counsel to ensure that the hearing dates that we set can go forward.
Okay.
That will be witnesses from their procurement division.
All right, but he's saying that it looks like it's only, we're talking about one to maybe three people.
Mr. Chairman, also, whatever the number is, there's more than one that will involve.
And one preliminary question that we have on our side is, this is directed more towards the purchasing agency. Prior to this procurement, who had the contract for these same services before the solicitation had issued came out?
Made to order.
Okay. Are there any other issues that the parties feel we need to take up at this time?
Nothing on behalf of the appellee.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. So the next hearing will be the formal hearing of this matter. And that will be on January the 11th, 2010 at 9 a.m. It will be here. Okay. And I will issue a order setting forth notice of the formal hearing plus the various deadlines that we've discussed today and set today. Okay. And these, yes, Ms. Boyle, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. So this hearing is then adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.